Monday, January 31st. Rogers called this morning on the China trip planning, said that Henry was having the state people over for planning meetings and that Bill would like to be included in these and feels that the president should get himself involved. He thinks the president should meet with the group of Rogers, Green, Jenkins, Platt, and Henry's people, so that it's clear to all of them that they're all working for the president. Kissinger has apparently asked for a meeting tomorrow, and Rogers would like to be in that meeting and have the president show it's a combined effort. I raised this in a meeting later in the day with the president while Rogers was while Kissinger was there, and Henry was horrified and furious at the thought, but president said to call Rogers back and tell him that he knows how the president abhors bull sessions and that he learns much better from the written word, so he would like them to get their papers in first, let the president have time to study them, then he'll meet with the group and ask his questions and so forth. But he'd like their papers in before this weekend. Henry was delighted with that solution. In the same session, president got into a philosophical discussion with Henry, and out of which came the idea of having Andre Malraux come over for an appointment with the president before he goes to China. Then Henry raised the idea of the president meeting with Yevtushenko, the Soviet poet, which the president agreed to do. Attorney General called today regarding the Howard Hughes problem. He's gotten a report from the U.S. attorney in New York that who has a draft of the Noah Dietrich book that indicates that Hughes apparently contributed or made a gift of $195,000 to Nixon after the 60 election and said it could be considered a belated campaign contribution. And Mitchell's concerned that we get the background on that, wants me to talk to Rose or someone and see what we can find out, which I will do. He also said that Reagan wants to talk with the president tomorrow before his meeting on the dock strikes about the problem of the conservatives in the Republican Party. So we're setting up some time for that. The president got into the whole Connally problem this morning. He wanted me to call Nellie and see if Connally would like to go to Florida and stay at the president's house for a while to recover from his cold and all. Also, he wants me to sit down and talk to Connally and say that the president says because he's carrying such a burden and the president considers him the indispensable man, that I'm to see that his path is as easy as possible within the White House staff with Flanagan, Ehrlichman, Kissinger, and so on, that I'll take the responsibility to see that it's carried out. But in checking on this, I find that our staff say that they can't reach him, and I wonder if there's anyone on his staff that they can deal with to save him from overloading. We won't tolerate even a hint of non-cooperation with you. You have to be the one voice. But somehow people have got to be able to get at you to get decisions and so on. President also got into campaign PR and so on. He wants to get Billy Graham in tomorrow to talk about politics. And based on a letter he'd had from Lou Giley, he feels that we need one man who's really bright on the campaign PR side to contribute on thinking, that has some real brains, but that our people can't get jealous about it. He thinks that we don't have adequate talent in this area, which is actually correct. He also talked a little about the idea of having Connally head up the Democrats for Nixon and using that as a campaign role for him. He's concerned about whether we're working the Southern Democrats in Congress, especially Harry Byrd. He wants to be sure our people all keep quiet about campaign strategy. Ziegler was in several times today trying to get a final decision on the China press corps, the big debate being whether to take Joe Kraft or not. First problem being the president's ruling out of the Washington Post, but Ziegler talked him into leaving them on the list. Then Henry's pushing for Joe Kraft, so they were looking for a conservative columnist to balance him, and finally agreed that it should be Kilpatrick. Then Ziegler came back in and said Kilpatrick had said he couldn't go, so we agreed it should be William S. White. Ziegler came back a few minutes later and said White can't go either. So then the debate was between Holmes Alexander, Dick Wilson, or Bill Buckley. We're all afraid of Buckley, but obviously he'd be the best signal, and I think that's where we ended up. The Don Nixon problem arose again, as Ehrlichman reported to the president on the Anderson thing, and we had some discussion about how to handle Don and agreed that it's got to be done through Kalmbach. Also, Ehrlichman had raised the welfare problem on the basis of Ribicoff's abandonment of family assistance, as a result of which the president called Ribicoff to suggest a meeting with him and Long and Bennett. Ribicoff used the opportunity to fill the president full of his line on the subject. The president made the point that a bitter confrontation in the committee would be bad at this time and we should try to work something out. He asked Ribicoff to talk to John Ehrlichman, go over this whole thing with him, and then before they make a final decision on what way to go, the president would like to have a talk with Ribicoff, which approach apparently solved the problem, at least for the time being. End of January 31st.